Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you the next installment in our Saturday-only series, the verse-by-verse study of the book of Jude. Now, Dr. Green is talking about the grace of God today, and I know you'll be blessed as you listen. But before that, I want to remind you, you probably are already beginning to think about Christmas. And don't forget that we have great Bibles for you here at the Gospel Hour, Scofield Reference, large print, and so on. Also, we already have our 2023 calendars in stock for you. I know many of you like to order early to see what next year is going to look like. You can do that. Just write me, call me, visit the website, or email us. Also, listen after the message today to hear about our new gift offer for the week. Well, right now, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Green.
Our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege we have today of studying Thy Word. And as we study, give us wisdom. Speak to my heart and speak through these lips of clay, dear Father, to the unseen tens of thousands across this great country. Save the soul that's nearest hell and bless the hearts of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Reclaim the backslidden, revive the indifferent, get glory to thyself, and we'll give God the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The Lord has given me a message today to give to you on the grace of God. Now, I suppose that a preacher could preach a year every day on the grace of God and never exhaust the subject. There is much in the Bible about the grace of God, but I have selected a group of scriptures today that will enrich your life if you'll listen to them, mark them in your Bible, and believe them. Now turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 14, we find our first verse on the grace of God, and listen what it says. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now, we know who that is. That's Jesus. No doubt about the identity of the person. We don't need to spend any time whatsoever talking about the identity of this person because He is the only begotten of the Father. Now, here's what I want you to notice. He was full of two things. Number one, grace. Number two, truth. Full of grace, full of truth. Now, I'm not even going to turn to this scripture, but I'm going to quote it. There are two of them. The first one is Titus 2:11. The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, the grace of God brings salvation, but it doesn't stop there. Now then, there's the grace. Now, here is the truth. In John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The grace of God brings salvation. The truth of God makes us free. So we're going to look at God's truth. Now, with that verse as a text, the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace, full of truth. Remembering that verse and using it as a text, I want to give you about five or six other marvelous scriptures as time permits. So turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And here Paul tells us that the grace of God equips us for victory. And heaven knows among Christians, I suppose, that is the gigantic need, the paramount need, the great need of the hour, victory. Listen, Paul prayed three times for God to remove a thorn in his flesh. What that thorn was has been discussed and analyzed and preached about, taught about, and guessed about. But listen, the main thing is in verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, and the power of Christ, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, Paul says that the grace of God equips us for victory. My grace is sufficient for thee. Now, let me say this to my fellow believer, and let me say this to Oliver Green. God forbid that I ever preach a sermon that I can't preach right back in my own face. God forbid that I ever transcribe a message that I can't play back to my own heart. Now, if Oliver Green is defeated, and if you, as a believer, if you are defeated, then it's your fault, it's not God's fault, because grace furnishes strength, grace furnishes the equipment to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. So, my friend, God's grace doesn't stop when we're saved. God's grace equips us. God's grace equips us to overcome the thorns in the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Say, Christian, you're born again. Last night in my meeting, a dear lady, I don't know, it doesn't make any difference, but I imagine she was in her 20s, somewhere in her middle 20s probably, came forward weeping her heart out. "Preacher, I'm saved, but oh, I'm defeated. What a miserable life I'm living. Defeated." Listen, the most miserable people on the top side of God's dirt are born again people who are living a defeated life. Now, there is, you need not listen. You say, "Preacher, now wait a minute. Who ever heard tell of a born again person living a defeated life?" Well, the Bible certainly makes it clear. The Bible makes it clear. Now, the Corinthian believers were carnal. They had divisions and they had strife and they were not spiritually minded. Paul said, "I should be feeding you folks meat," but he said, "I'm still feeding him milk because you can't take meat. You're carnal. You're divided. You're quibbling over this or that." Now, the besetting sin of the Corinthians was the sin of division and fussing and quarreling. Now, that may not be the sin that has wrecked your testimony, your joy, and your power. Now, there's no need to tell. Now, the Bible distinctly teaches that a believer, a born-again person, can lose their reward. And 2 John says, "Be careful that you lose not those things which you have wrought." Now, God bless you, he's not talking about your salvation, because salvation was not wrought by you. And the things that are wrought by us are works, stewardship. Faith without works is dead. And dead faith can't save you, and living faith will work. Now, if you fail as a steward, you lose your reward. And if you fail as a steward, it's not God's fault, because God furnishes the equipment to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, here's what I was saying when I got sidetracked. If you are living a defeated Christian life, you are much more miserable than a sinner. Now, why do I say that? A sinner gets a certain amount of pleasure and satisfaction out of serving the devil, but you can't get any pleasure out of anything. You go to church, you can't enjoy that because you think everything the preacher says is right straight to you. You feel like he's preaching to you only, and that makes you miserable. And if you go to the things of the world and try to partake of the things, you can't enjoy that because you know you have no business there. So a defeated Christian, I'm talking about a real born-again child of God washed in the blood, but you're not spiritually minded, you're not consecrated, you're not dedicated. Well, let me use a good old Bible term. You're not sanctified. And to be sanctified is to be set apart, dedicated, consecrated, fully surrendered. I beg you earnestly by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I pray God your whole soul, body, whole soul, spirit and body be preserved. And that same word could be sanctified. I pray God you be preserved. Consecrated, dedicated, sanctified, set apart. Now, if you're not, it's not God's fault. The grace that saved you will equip you. The grace that saved you will equip you to overcome the world. Now, here it is again. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul, I'm not going to remove the thorn. I'm not going to take away the thorn, Paul. Because my grace is sufficient. Now, turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. And listen to this precious verse of scripture. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Here it is. Let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, salt preserves. Grace and salt are synonymous when it comes to spiritual things. Ye are the salt of the earth. See? Now, the grace of God saves us. The grace of God equips us. And the grace of God preserves us, makes us sweet. That's right, salt makes sweet. Certainly it does. You take a tart grapefruit and sprinkle a little salt on it, and it sweetens it. That's a fact, and many of you know that to be a fact. Now, salt in the Bible is grace, and grace is salt. I mean by that, the grace of God preserves us. The grace of God sweetens us. And so let your speech be always with grace. Speak in grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, if you're one of these hot-headed, fly-off-of-the-handle persons, you just need to let God season your speech, that's all. You know, I'm sure the dear young folks are listening to me now. And I saw a dear young man and his wife weep and weep and weep in the prayer room not so many nights ago. They wept and wept and wept. Why? They were saved. You say, preacher, were they saved? Yes, I believe they were. They said they were. And some of the dear people in the church told me that their lives in the church bore fruit of real redemption. But you know what happened? Their speech, and I say this in love and tenderness, because I'm sure they're listening now. Their speech was not seasoned with grace. The husband had spoken to the wife in a very unchristian way, and it broke her heart, and maybe her speech had not always been seasoned with grace, and her heart was broken. And when he realized that he broke her heart, then they were both broken, and they were sad, and they did not have that perfect love and unity and peace one toward the other. And so you see, if that dear husband's voice had been seasoned with grace, he would have never shouted at his wife. I don't shout at my wife when I speak in grace. You don't shout at your wife when you speak in grace. And wives, you don't cut your husbands and stab them with your tongue. You love them. And after you do it, you hate yourself for it. Well, bless your heart, if you'll get on your knees and let God salt down your tongue. Let God salt it down. Amen. Let God put that tongue on salt and grace. Then you'll speak sweet. You won't be storming and screaming and then later weeping about it. Now, the grace of God is sufficient. God's grace saves us. God's grace equips us. And God's grace sweetens our speech. Now then, in Acts 11, turn please to Acts chapter 11, and we're going to read another marvelous verse, and here's what it says, verse 23, Acts 11:23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Now that's in the church down at Antioch, Peter preaching when he came to the people at Antioch and he saw the grace of God, he was glad. When he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them with all purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. Now, what do we get out of that? The grace of God not only makes our language sweet, but it makes our face bright. Now, what do I mean by that? Do I mean that everybody that doesn't go around smiling all the time is lost? I should say I do not. I should say I don't. But I mean this, the grace of God brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. The grace of God brings gladness that cannot be expressed in words. The grace of God puts an expression of peace and joy and satisfaction on the face that all hell can erase. Gladness comes by grace. Now, if you're not happy and if you're not glad, it's simply because you're not surrendered to the grace of God. I didn't say you're not saved. I believe it's possible to be saved and not enjoy your spiritual birthright. And the spiritual birthright of every Christian is full joy. Full joy. And if you're not enjoying full joy, then God bless you. It's your fault. It's not God's fault. Because grace brings full joy. Turn to 2 Timothy because my time is slipping. And I do want to give you all the verses. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we find these precious words in verse 1. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Note that. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, this grace that is in Christ and Christ in you, the hope of glory, this grace makes us strong. Now, strong soldiers are good soldiers. And we are admonished many times in Paul's writings to be a good soldier, a good soldier. Now, if we want to be strong spiritually, that strength must come through a healthy spiritual life, and a healthy spiritual life can come only through the grace of God. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And now, the next one, I think, is the best of all, and I hurry so that I can make some remarks and turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this is our last verse. I hope you've jotted them all down. If I have time, I'll give them to you so you can in just a couple of minutes. Now listen to this one. Listen, in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Now does that mean in dollars and cents? Well, yes, but not only that. I believe that's referring to giving of your money to the work of the Lord. But that's not all. That's not all. If we sow sparingly in being kind to others, then we'll reap sparingly when it comes to kindness from others. And I could go on. If we sow sparingly in our love for others, then the love we receive from others will be sparingly. Now, we could go on there, but here's what I want you to see. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, let him so give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Now, listen to this. And God is able to make all the grace that God has. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, note, always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to all good work. Now that word every in the Greek is all. That we may abound to all good work. Now wait a minute. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things may abound to all good work. Now, who in the world could ever take in the meaning, the full meaning of that verse scripture? That's gigantic, to state it mildly. Now, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit said, a tree planted by the river's water brings forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither. Let me put it this way. A tree that is full of sap, a tree that is full of sap will be full of fruit. It will bring forth much fruit. A tree that is full of sap will produce a bountiful harvest of fruit. And a tree that is full of sap will produce a beautiful crop of green, healthy leaves. A tree that lacks sap is dead. Now, grace to a Christian is what sap is to a tree. Grace to a Christian is what the life-giving sap is to the fruit on the tree. And grace to a Christian, when it comes to living a beautiful, healthy Christian life, is what sap in the tree is to the leaves that glisten in the sunlight. Now, the grace of God brings salvation, but the grace of God also equips us for victory. The grace of God seasons our speech with salt. The grace of God makes us glad. And the grace of God brings all need, all ways, at all times, under all circumstances, and provides for all good work. Now, grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is favor meted out to those who deserve no favor because they are not worthy of any of God's goodness. Now, why should God be so good to me? Why did God love me? Why did God save me? Why does God keep me? Why does God bless me? Why does God make me glad? Why does God give me the wonderful things that He gives me? Why is it that I have joy unspeakable and full of glory? The answer is grace, and grace is God, and God is Christ, and Christ is God. And so, when you get into the circle of grace, God bless you, there is no ending, there is no end. Grace, grace, marvelous grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. God help you. If you're not saved, receive Jesus. And if you are saved, let Him fill you completely with His marvelous grace. Father, honor Thy precious word, O God, save the soul that's nearest hell, and bless the hearts of the believers in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. I hope you are enjoying the Gospel Hour as Dr. Green teaches us about the Bible. And I know you are, and we have some more great books for you that teaches us more about the Bible in our Gift Offer B. Gift Offer B contains 5 books by some great men of God that my dad admired greatly. And it's all available to you if you simply ask for Offer B and send a donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $5 or more. Please send more if you can. Every dollar you send helps us stay on the air. Pray about it, ask the Lord's guidance, and do as He directs. But if you can send a donation of at least $5, I'm going to send you these 5 books. My dad really admired all 5 of these preachers and teachers, and he had these books reprinted so that you and I can learn also. The first book is the Olivet Discourse by Dr. A. C. Gabelein. It's a discussion of Matthew 24 and 25, 127 pages long. Then we have plain papers on the Holy Spirit. What about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what this book is all about. It's 80 pages long, 5 chapters. It's by Dr. C.I. Schofield. Then we have Night Scenes of the Bible by Dr. F.E. March. A very, very interesting book looking at very important nights as described in the Bible. 12 chapters, 131 pages long. And then we also have According to Promise, or The Lord's Method of Dealing with His Chosen People, a book that all of us need to read and study by Dr. Charles H. Spurgeon, 128 pages long. Finally, a book by Dwight L. Moody, Thou Fool, 12 sermons such as Thou Fool, and also Power for Service, also How Backsliders May Return, and How to Deal with Inquirers, and also The Soul Winner. As you can see, wonderful chapters for us. So, to get all 5 of these great books, just ask for offer B and send your gift of at least $5. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.